Last summer, in addition to going to the Creation Museum, my family, my parents and I, went to Mammoth Cave in Kentucky. That cave is so large that they are able to do multiple tours in different sections of the cave. And when we took our tour, we didn't see anybody else's tours. You know, that's just how big it is that they were able to have several tours and we never met up with each other. That's just how big it is. Due to the arrival of our timing, my mother, father, and I took the dryer tour, where you could see the stalactites and the stalagmites in a certain part of the cave. But it is the other tour that I remembered when I was preparing this sermon. The tour my parents and I took was drier because it was not the one that included rafting on an underground river. I don't have much experience with waterways and underground tunnels and things like that, so it makes me wonder how many underground rivers there are in the world. Especially after the Greek study that we had about a week and a half ago and the work that Pastor Emmerich had done in preparing that study. Most weeks, a few pastors and I get together at St. Peter and discuss the Greek of an upcoming text, either the epistle or the gospel. The Old Testament is in Hebrew, so that doesn't work. A couple weeks ago, though, it was Pastor Emmerich's turn to lead, and he told us how he found that the word for Jacob's well, the word well, in the gospel text could refer to, you know, a regular body of water, or it could refer to a fountain, a waterway that's in motion, like the one there at Mammoth Cave. The Greek literally can be translated as fountain, and the ESV Study Bible notes that the well was likely deep enough to reach an underground spring. So keep this in mind as we look at the gospel text, where we hear about Jacob's well, living waters, what Jesus really meant when he was talking to that Samaritan woman, and what his word means for us today. Toward the beginning of our text, it says, "A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.'" Now, at first, this Samaritan woman is surprised for a couple of reasons. For one thing, she is a Samaritan, and Jesus was a Jew, and they generally did not speak to one another. There was animosity there. And for another thing, she was a woman. And again, women were not often spoken to. So she was rightly confused. "Why are you speaking to me? I'm a Samaritan and I'm a woman. Why are you talking to me?" So Jesus replies to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water?" Did you hear it this time? Keeping what Pastor Emmerich found in his study in your mind? The Samaritan woman was rightly confused when Jesus said living water, because if that water in the bottom of the well was indeed moving water, they could have also been calling it living water. What do you mean you're going to get living water? How are you going to get in that well? You don't have a bucket or a pail to get the water with. What do you mean, living water? How are you going to get that living water? Because as the Samaritan woman pointed out, and as his archaeological findings point out, that was most likely the deepest well at that time. But as God has done in bringing us to his word and faith in his word, Jesus explained his meaning to the woman. He said, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." With these words, Jesus is drawing that Samaritan woman closer to understanding his identity as the Messiah. And slowly but surely throughout this passage, the woman begins to understand who he is. At first, she is confused as to why he's even speaking to her. Then she doubts that he is greater than her ancestor Jacob. But after these words, she desires to drink of that living water. She says, "Give me that living water that I may not have to come here anymore and draw this water out of the well." And again, Jesus gently leads her to understanding about his identity. He reveals it by showing that he knows her, just as he revealed to Nathanael that he knew who he was and that he had been seated under that fig tree earlier in the Gospel of John. You might remember that, calling him Nathanael. Philip comes to him and talks to him, and he questions, "Could anything good come from Nazareth?" And what does Philip say, come and see? Is this not how Jesus works in your life? Has he not patiently and lovingly led you by his word to understand who he is as the Savior, even your Savior? Jesus spoke to the woman. His word and the Spirit went into her so that she could not only understand that he meant that he was a prophet of God, but that he was the Messiah who was to come, as she would be telling her neighbors in the verses to come. After revealing that he knew her, the Samaritan woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? Up to this point, Jesus had been speaking to the woman, giving her an implanting of the living water. Here we find that the water was welling up so much inside of her that she could not keep it to herself. She went into town and started asking the others, is this him? Could this be the Christ? Could this be the Messiah to come? And just like Philip calling Nathanael at the beginning of John's gospel to come and see, now it's the Samaritan woman saying, come, see. The living water of the Holy Spirit had begun welling up in her so that she would go and bring others to Christ. Today you have been called by God's gospel and enlightened with his gifts. You have seen how Jesus came to you with both law and gospel. Whether God came to you as an infant or later in your life, you likely heard the word and the law even before your baptism, even if it was in the opening hymn before the baptism service was done. Yet Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. He came to save you from your sin, and by his cross, by his death on the cross, you have been. Then through the washing of baptism, you receive the forgiveness paid for by Jesus on that same cross. Now you are free. Free to spread the word. The living water has been spoken into you. Not the water of an underground spring, but the living water, the water from Christ himself. The living water. That same water which welled up in the Samaritan woman, and so she could no longer keep it to herself, but had to go and tell her neighbors. But once she had spoken to them, they went out of the town and were coming to him. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. So here we have yet a second example of the water welling up in the person so much that they can't keep it to themselves. First the Samaritan woman, and then her neighbors, and then their neighbors were passing it on and so forth. The water was springing up unto eternal life for those who would come to believe in that word. As the text says, many more believe because of Jesus' word. They even declare Jesus to be the Savior of the world. That title is significant for a couple of reasons. Jesus came not only to save the Jews, as we found him doing that striking thing of speaking not only to a woman, but a Samaritan woman. Jesus came to save the world from their sins, not just one group or one race. Yet as much as this should have resonated through the temple, with how even Rahab had come to believe in the Messiah when she was a Gentile, Jesus received a greater welcome here among the Samaritans than he did in Jerusalem, the location of the temple, as we heard a few minutes ago. Here, Jesus was asked to stay, something which did not take place in Jerusalem. So Jesus stayed 2 more days, preaching and teaching, patiently working with the Samaritans with law and gospel. He gave them the law to produce proper guilt, and those who believed his word came to recognize him as the Savior of the world. Each of them believed, and so they would have known that Jesus was not only there to save the world, but to save them from their own sin. As you hear and believe on that word, you also realize that Jesus came not just to save the world, but you personally from your personal sins. And as you hear that word, don't be surprised if you begin to feel the need to tell others. Jesus' word tends to well up in people until you can no longer hold it to yourself, but you have to go out and tell others about it. And as you go out and continue to tell others about it, you realize that that spring of water is welling up in you, leading you to eternal life for the sake of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.